character. It's the same old saying that I always say, whatever's in the well comes up in the bucket. Whatever's in there controlling you, that's what's going to cause you to, places you go to, the friends you have, the things you do, the things you don't do. It's always the character. First, you see in your thing there, it says meekness is not weakness. You know, Jesus himself, you know, says, we'll see the verse in just a moment in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was not a weak person. You know, how many times do we see him? You know, it says that he fasted for 40 days and went out into the wilderness alone. How many of us can, how many of you ever gone 4 days without food intentionally? Anyone? No? I did it 2 days one time back when I was farming, and I thought, you know, I don't think God has this in mind for me. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to be committed to praying, but I don't have to do this. And, you know, I guess it's not for everybody. But Jesus fasted. Not weak people do that. And it says he was out there in the wilderness with the beast. What else did it say? You remember? Was Jesus weak when he made the cords and whips and he went into the church, you know, where the Gentiles were, and they had taken over the only spot the Gentiles could be, and he went in there and he ran the leaders of the place out? Is that what weak people do? Do weak people fight the ones in charge? Not normally. Absolutely not. If you think Jesus was weak, you just go back and try being meek for a week. You know what that means? We're going to explain it as we go on, all right? God made us, and he put us together, and he placed in us, he gave us all ambitions, he gave us different things, our strengths, our weaknesses, and in and of themselves, they were not evil. It's only when we use those outside of his control is when they become evil. He gave us these drives, but these drives, if they're not controlled, that's exactly why we have so much corruption and sin in the world. But these drives, instincts, need to be made to yield. And the same thing with meekness has the idea of a stallion who is running wild, and they capture him, and now they're going to tame him so that he can be used. He'll still have the same strength, still have the same instinct, but now he'll be yielding to someone else's power. It's strength under control is really what meekness is, as you see on the front. Look at the middle of your page. Blessed are the meek, isn't what I just mentioned. I don't know if any of you ever broken a horse before, you know, taking a wild one and break it to where it yields. It's not a simple process, and you can get hurt in that process, but that's all it is. You're just controlling the animal of strength. You don't take the strength away from him, but you just control it. In the second thing that you're looking at there, it says, what is it that controls a person's way of life? There's two options that we're going to look at. I'm holding out for this quote. If PC wins, is PC going to win? You know, Jay Leno, they said that he was really pretty good at stopping to sign autographs. Y'all know who Jay Leno was, right? He was pretty good at signing autographs, taking time to take pictures with people, and even answering a lot of letters and things that people would send him. Sometimes he would even give them a phone call. On this one occasion, it was actually quoted in Ladies' Home Journal that he had called, and he says, is Susan there? The lady had written him, a young lady by the name of Susan. So he calls, and he says, is Susan there? And the lady said, I'm her mama. Who is this? He said, this is Jay Leno. And she said, well, who is that? He said, well, you know, I'm a TV host, and she wrote a letter, and I just wanted to call her. She said, well, you know, she writes to every crackpot on television. Well, what do you do with that? You're not so hot anymore, are you? Does a weak person stand up against a majority? Does a weak teenager give in to everybody else around them and their peer pressure, and they just do like everybody else at school? That's the norm. That's exactly what it is. No, the weak person always gives in. They rather go along and get along. That's weak. You know, anybody can sin. Anybody can go along. The strong ones are the ones who do not. Jesus didn't. He didn't go alone. They just choose to go along, whether it's right or wrong. We're faced with this every day. You know, who do we let control our life? That is the question. He made us. Okay, I already covered that. Let me keep going and pick up where we are. What is it that controls a person's way of life? Jesus is talking about we're submitting our life to his authority and he controls us. There are two options that control people, all of us. We have two options. Number one is this. In our natural state, we're born as a sinful individual, and our sinful nature wants to do what we want to do. And in our natural nature, it is not what God wants. Our desires are not what God wants. That's our natural state. What one does with that natural person is like an untamed horse. They're wild, it's out there, and what do? One option is no control whatsoever. Boy, is that where we are? Just let them run wild. That's exactly it. That is exactly what the natural person that has no concern, no thought whatsoever for God in their life, that's exactly what the majority of our population, that's how they operate. You know, they don't care anything about God, don't even think about God, even if they think he exists. There is no restraint whatsoever. Just let the wild person run. Whatever is natural is beautiful. You know, God made alcohol so we get to drink it. God made dope so we get to smoke it. Ain't that right? That's what that means. Whatever is beautiful, it must be right because it's natural. So what? That's all there is. So that is our option. We can just do what we want to do, and boy, that's the going thing for today. So you just do your thing. No self-assertion. Don't put any strain upon yourself. If you want to get drunk, just go get drunk. If you want to take advantage of someone, go ahead. If you just want to take dope, just go ahead. That's natural. That's normal. That's the thing you have to do, and you don't have to fight anything. Just kind of, you know, live in that freedom. We've heard some ladies out of Mexico, they were committed to Christ then, but they said, oh, yeah, we lived during that free movement. We did all that stuff because everybody thought it was just so natural, even though it wasn't right. If you want to fight, just fight. Don't restrain yourself. One way to deal with your natural self is just let go and just be whatever God. Well, that's just the way I am. Isn't that what we try to excuse? Well, that's the way God made me. You know, if he hadn't made that, he wouldn't want me to drink it. If he wouldn't want me to smoke it. He made dirt. Go gargle some dirt. Do you do that? No, you don't do that. Why? Live with no restraints. And unfortunately, this day and time, there's not many restraints. But you can cross a bridge, across the line sometimes, and they will restrain you. You know, all of us know some that need to be restrained and need to be in a straitjacket. Probably, right? You know what that is? You know, John Killinger in Atlanta Monthly a long time back, he went back, he said it the way it used to be in the West, when someone would capture a wild stallion and they'd tame it, and they were having a hard time taming it, this is what they would finally come to an end to try to tame it. They would put him in a harness with a little burra, a little donkey, and they would just turn him loose out there, you know, out there in the wild, just kind of let him go, not in a corral or anything. And said they'd take off, and sure enough, that stallion was just bucking and kicking and dragging that little donkey everywhere, and they'd get out of sight. They may be gone 2 or 3 days. And then you see them 2 or 3 days later, you're coming back, and the little donkey is leading the stallion. Why? He kicked and he bucked till he gave out, and in the moment in time, the little burra was the master. So he took over and he led him back. That's exactly what it is. When you and I act like fools in our choices, that's what we're doing. The same thing Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you. We'll look at that verse in just a moment. This philosophy of just, you know, just it's natural, just do it, don't fight it, was really promoted by Nietzsche, the philosopher, a long, long time ago, and it's really influenced our world, and it still influences our world, because that's exactly what he tried to say. You know, you just, that's the way, you know, it's natural. That's the way God made us. You should just live that out. One of his students was Adolf Hitler. How about that? He took it to the extreme. This is what he said. Hitler said, get rid of your pious priest and their weak-livered gospel of mercy. Purge out all your souls, purge out of your souls this disease this devil of Christianity. Wow, what was it always doing? Always restraining us. Progress depends on the strong man, he said, and the strong people. Therefore, be strong. Assert yourself. Be a Superman. And we look back at the Holocaust as a part of that. No restraint. We're going to create a superhuman race. Why? Because that's exactly what we think we should do. We live that way, don't we? Why in the world, if we don't live that way, why is it when we know better, we don't do it? You know, why is it really when you start looking at that young people's life who come up through the church and they hear all of their life the right thing, but time they get out of the church, they live like pagans. Some of them live like pagans while they're in the church. Why? Why is that? Because we don't want to submit to anybody else. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. We don't say that out loud, but we just live it. Ain't that right? That's what it is. What is a controlling person? Your natural nature, which is you're in control, and if you feel like that's what you need to do to make you happy, you don't really care what God says. You're going to go do it. That's what that is. That's one option. There's only two options. What controls a person's life? What is the other one? It is the exact opposite. It's self-restraint. You know, I'm not blessed with a good metabolism like a lot of people. We were talking Wednesday night, someone else in our congregation who eats like a pig and never gains a pound. You know, not that they're a pig, but I'm just using that. If they're here, I don't want them to think I think they're a pig, but you know what I mean. Compared to what I can eat, they're a pig. All I have to do is just kind of look at it, you know. And so if I didn't restrain myself, I'd weigh 400 pounds. I know I would. Because that's always been a problem. You know, I weighed 180 all my life since the third grade, all right? I was about as wide as I was tall, okay? So if I didn't restrain myself, number one, it wouldn't be physically healthy for me. But number two, it could be a bad testimony for me, all right? Self-restraint. It means strength under control. That I submit that area of my life to Jesus, I don't control it anymore. Look in Romans 6:19. Paul's writing to the believers in Rome. And he says, "For as ye have yielded your members," that means your hands, your eyes, your feet, your tongue, "you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and unto iniquity." It means you've been living ungodly life. Everything about your life has not been godly at all. That's all he means. All your members. That is, you used to be yielded to Satan. Even so, now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. He said, you used to live that way, but you're not going to live that way anymore. Why? Because your master used to be Satan, but now your master is Jesus. So now it's supposed to be different. That's what he's saying. It means strength under control. Are they the same members? Are they the same eyes? Yes. Are they the same ears? Yes. Are they the same feet? Yes. Is everything the same? Yes, but they're under a different authority. But now, rather than using my tongue to curse someone or talk about someone, I use my tongue to praise them or praise someone. I might be still a fighter, but now I'm fighting the devil. I don't just fight people. I'm fighting the devil and fighting the crowd that wants me to be like everybody else. Isn't that right? No one wants you to be different. Everybody's trying to be different, and they say, oh, yeah, we're not going to be like them, and they all look like, you know, just like Tarzan and Jane and Cheetah. They all look alike. Oh, we're going to be different. Then all those who want to be different, they all look alike. So really, there's no individual. Nobody wants you to be different, especially if your life being guided by Christ convicts them. See, here's how that works. You're in a crowd, and they're supposed to be believers. They say they are. And you've chosen not to give in to this sin, whatever that sin is, and you're there, and they're all doing it, and you're not. You don't even have to say anything. But just the fact that you're not giving in convicts them, so they don't really want you around. Because they don't want anyone living a different life that even maybe they know is wrong, but they don't want to give in. They don't want to have the fight. They don't want to fight the majority and stand alone. Remember that song by the Hensons? When you've done all you can to stand, just stand. Some days all you can do is just You do what's right. Most of the people, as we said earlier, they don't want to fight the majority. We just go along. We want everybody to like us, right? Now I'm fighting the crowd that wants me to be like everybody else. Wow. Boy, that's an epidemic. How do we become meek? You said, I want to do that. How do I do that? Well, first off, it starts with back to the Beatitude. Number one, you understand who you are. You're a sinner in the sight of Holy God. I am too. You have to start there. I don't come with Him with anything. I come with Him with nothing. And I understand that's my situation. And then I'm broken up by that situation, but I realize what He's done and offered me. So what? Now, will I willingly submit to His authority? If I desire to be meek, I decide. I have part of that. God arrests my attention. He convicts me, and I come to the point where I say, okay, this is what I need to do this. Am I going to do this? That's what it is. A decision that we have to make. You know, Jesus doesn't force His lifestyle on anyone. You know, He's not like Muhammad who said, you know, you become one of us or we'll kill you. You know, I know that's the rough version of that, but to do a little history and you'll see that's exactly what it was. You know, oh, we love you, but if you don't be like us, we'll kill you. That's not what Jesus said. He said, this is what you need to do, but you get to choose. We always get to choose. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Same concept. You know, a yoke was on the head of the animals. I'm sure Jesus was speaking, and there were a yoke of oxen or something out there that the people were looking at when He said it. It was common for that day and time. If you had enough money, you might have two. And it bound them together. So He said, you come and get in a yoke with me and learn, because you're going to walk with me. I'll teach you, and we'll see how God's Word is instrumental in that. For I am meek and lowly. He said, I'm not a show-off. I'm just going to get it. You come with me and look at this other part, and you will find rest for your soul. You know, here's what happens. When we try to force something on someone else and it doesn't fit them, they're always trying to kick to get out of it. If you let Jesus put His yoke on you, it'll fit you. You don't need to wear my yoke, and I don't need to wear your yoke. Our yokes are not going to be real, real different, but it might not be exactly the same. But if I allow Him to put the yoke on me that He has for me, it'll fit me. It won't be hard. Well, I can't just do that. I just can't do that. Well, you can. The question is this. Do you want to be meek? You know? It's a submission to a higher power. And I don't mean a power that we don't know. I'm talking about Jesus. You know, I'm not talking about this higher power that everybody talks about in some of these places. That, well, you know, as long as you just believe in some higher power, our higher power is Jesus, all right? We understand that, right? It is submission. Not only must you receive Jesus, the Son of God, you learn from Him. What do we learn from Him? From His Word? You know, how do you know? How do you know how to be meek in a situation? It tells you how to treat your wife. It tells you how to treat your husband. It tells you how you treat your mom and dad. It tells you how you treat the people you work for, the people that work for you. All of that. You learn from Him, and we respond to the Word of God. But we make that choice. You know, I always say it, and it convicts me as well. If we would just do a quarter of what we already know, it'd be changing, wouldn't it? Isn't that right? If we would just work on what we already know, even if we didn't learn anything else for the next 10 years, if we would just work on applying what we already know, it'd be a different world. Absolutely. We need to keep learning, absolutely, that without question. You know, they say that an elephant has a great memory. Isn't it right? Elephants and alligators? I don't know about alligators. It was in a movie, though, right? That they don't forget. I'm not sure about that. But I think they've proven elephants have a great memory. And on one occasion, it was in Germany where this African bull elephant, his master who was always with him, was sick, and they put him in the hospital, and they couldn't get the elephant to go in the evening to where he bedded down. And he wouldn't listen to anyone. So every day for a month, in the morning and afternoon, they put his master in an ambulance, brought him out there, side of the fence. He told the elephant to go in the place. He would walk right in. He'd come back the next morning and tell him to come out, and he wouldn't listen to anybody else but him. When we get to that place where we don't care about what anybody else says but what Jesus says, then we're on the road to being meek. But until then, we're controlling ourselves. Just don't fool yourself. We don't need to think we're submitting to Christ when everybody else is telling us what to do. And that's what everybody else wants us to do, because they don't want us to live for Jesus, because it means then they're going to have to deal with their situation. You know how that works with life cycles sometimes? One of the reasons Debbie took the path she did in her counseling degree was they really studied the way the whole system works in the cycles of families, what it takes to break out of it. When you've been in a cycle so long, it takes one person to really pay a hard price, oftentimes to be ostracized by the rest of the family, to break the cycle. Nobody wants to do that. You don't want to be the only teenager in high school that doesn't fit in with the rest of the ungodly crowd, because you'll go along with them. Isn't that right? You're the only young adult that, no, I know I'm not supposed to do that, but I don't want anybody else to look at me, so I'm going to go along with that too. That's the same thing. Allowing him to guide us. That's what meekness, that's what it is. Receive with meekness, that is, let the word of God be our control. It tells us what to do. Let the word of God be your bridle. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You say, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? Is he going to give me a piece of land? No, that ain't what that means, all right? You know, land is overvalued. You know, it's overrated. You know, because one day, can I get off on my hobby horse for just a minute? You don't own that land. You rent it from the government. Don't pay the taxes on it for a few years and see what happens to it. Huh? The owner comes, takes it. So yeah. Don't say, I own that land. No, you're renting it. Just like everything else you have, you're renting it. Especially anything to do with the government. You rent it. So I'm not talking about land. That's not what he's talking about. Quickly, here's what it is. We have to understand, we will never understand our full inheritance until we understand meekness, and that is submission to Christ. Okay, you have to get that first. A person who cannot control himself or herself, submitting to the Word of God, will never be satisfied. Did you hear that? Did I tell you that chicken theology a while ago? Part of it. Here's the next part. They're just like us. What do you mean by that? They're never satisfied. I go out there every day, and I feed certain parts of with my hand. I throw the feet out there and spread it out, because they're worse than us. They fight. And it's the same feed, okay? I put this pile, and I keep going. And there's some of those chickens, you think they'll stop and eat it the first one? Oh, no. They're going to go to every pile. Some of them get there before I put the next little pile out. Same chicken. He got the first bite, but he's over there. Well, he ain't ever satisfied. Ain't that right? Why do we buy new cars all the time? Well, we got to have the latest thing. Why? Because we ain't ever satisfied. Why we got to have the latest phone? It still talks, right? Doesn't matter if it's a flip phone or if it's, what's the other ones? I forget. Smartphone. Yeah, doesn't matter what it is. They're not so smart. Because when you lose it, they can't tell you where it is, all right? Never satisfied. Isn't that right? Part of our inheritance is now in this life. What does Paul say? Without meekness, we don't understand that. Here's the verse. Paul said what? Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I have, whether I'm living under the bridge in a cardboard box or if I'm living in a $1 million mansion, I know how it is to be satisfied. That's an inheritance. When we learn that Jesus is all we need and we don't have to battle for all this other stuff, and we can say, you know, I'm satisfied whether I ever get anything else or not, I'm satisfied. That's what that means. Until we understand that, that's exactly what he's saying. Not grasping this will always lead to being controlled by the devil's threat to either take away something or give us something. You know how that works, right? Jesus fools us and he comes along because, you know, he either comes as a roaring lion or an angel of light. Isn't that right? Isn't what Scripture tells us? A roaring lion. Well, if you don't do this, I'm going to take all that away from you. Wait a minute, I don't have anything. Because I'm satisfied just with Jesus. You can take everything I got. I'm still satisfied. That's what Paul said. So when the devil comes and he said, well, if you don't do this, Terry, I'll take everything away from you. I said, wait a minute, I don't have anything. Because I don't have anything. Whenever I die, guess what's going with me? Not even my flesh. Just my soul. That's it. I don't have anything. That's what Paul said. I don't have anything. So when he says, that's not going to work. So I tell you what, if you'll just do this, Terry, we'll give you all this. And I said, I already own everything. Wait a minute, that's not making any sense. That's exactly what it says. Look at this verse we're about to read. 2 Corinthians. As sorrowful, he's describing his situation as believers, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Wow. Whenever we get that, no one 15 years old or 85 can convince us to do anything outside the will of God. That's tough. Most people don't make it. That's why we live mediocre Christian lives. Why? We never submit. We think we got to always go along and have these people to think well of us so we can be in that crowd. So we always submit to what's wrong because we want everybody to like us. I don't know. Do you get out of that when you're about 60? Huh? Some of us do. Who gives a rat ski cap what everybody else thinks? I try to tell the young people, it really doesn't matter. If you're committed to Jesus, the only thing that matters is what Jesus says. Wow, that's a tough one. Yet possessing all things. It's hard to grasp that, ain't it? Look at this. That is the now. You know, we have everything that Jesus has now. We inherit that now. That peace that passes all understanding, Philippians chapter 4. But look at this part. And the not yet. There's two parts to it. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. You know, there is for a short time going to be a new earth. It's not going to last for forever, but it's going to last for 1,000 years, and then we're going to move on up to a better place, even after that. Blessed and holy is he that is part in the first resurrection, such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him. There's a part right now that we inherit, and that is the peace that we have in this life. And yet there's a part, aren't you glad this is not all there is? Do you ever stop to think about that? Are we fighting for all this nonsense that one day is not going to be here anymore? We forget that. We forget that one day all of this is going to be gone and nothing's going to be there but Jesus and us standing in front of him. And he's going to say, what did you do with me? Wow. And then he's going to show you life, and you ain't going to be able to lie. He said, oh, I did this. Oh, no, you didn't. Let's go back over here. You think you got a good video camera? Yeah. Jesus is even going to show you the thoughts in your heart if you question what he says. He's going to play them back for you. How about that one? That's scary, isn't it? It seems like a paradox, doesn't it? We have nothing in this world but Jesus, but yet we have everything. When we get to that place, we're ready to live for Jesus. It's a tough place to get to, but it can be done. With Jesus' help alone, in a decision that we make, I'm going to submit to your authority, not the rest of the world, for your glory. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. We care way too much about the rest of the world. We fight it every day of our lives. What someone else says we should be, what someone else says we should have, we break our necks for change that doesn't bring any glory to you. Lord, convict us today, all of us, young, older, that we would honestly evaluate, are we submitting our lives to your control? Or are we just saying it with our mouth, but nothing in our life's actions reveal it? Lord, convict us that a change would come so you could be glorified through our lives because we're obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.